Good evening, or good morning, or good afternoon to everyone listening. I would like to welcome everyone to the ninth Shia, the ninth lecture in the series of Shi'urim on the Chasimes HaShas, the reduction of the Talmud. We're actually dealing with the reduction of the Babylonian Talmud. This is the ninth in the series of Shi'urim. I took off last week due to my son's Chasana and Sheva Brachas, Baruch Hashem. We survived, and we're here to give Shia. Now, I was speaking about last week that sometimes the redactor of the Gemara engages himself in resolving or giving legal foundation to certain types of phenomenon, halakhic practice. So sometimes the redactor might have, in fact, actually explain or interpret a legal statement, or somehow creatively understand another, a braisa, in order to arrive at a yishuv, at a resolution, which grounds legally a practice. What I would like to do today is actually take. I actually brought several cases last time. And this, of course, gives us a lot of insight into what the redactor was doing. Why, in fact, the redactor will many times make what's called peushim dechukim, make false interpretations. We give examples on that based upon the reading of the rishonim. Of course, we are still with textual truth. We're trying to read the rishonim into the Gemara. And what I would like to do is today, I would like to give a even more obvious or a more striking example of how, in fact, actually, in the according to the impoverishment of my opinion, that through reading the Rishayna, we see that the redactor of the Gemara, or that the Amorayim and letter redactors of the Gemara, in fact, actually sought to see it that certain halachic practices would be grounded in what I would call much, which more creative interpretations of Tanaic sources. Now, the shiur tonight will focus on a Gemara in Temuleh. Okay, those of you who have done the Daf Yomi over the last number of years, I'm sure came across Temuleh. Those of you who have not done the Daf Yomi, like in yeshivas, you probably have not seen Temuleh. Those of you who have learned in Bris might have only seen Temuleh. But in any case, the Gemara is a Gemara in Temuleh on Daf Yud Beis of an Aleph, folio 12 side A in your art school edition, whatever it's in Sino edition. There. The Mishnah says as follows. The Mishnah says, "Ein hamaduma medameya elafi cheshbon." In other words, if let's say, for example, truma should fall into chulin, it should be a mixture of truma of kodesh and cholin, then basically we treat it as kosher api cheshbon. We take into account the cheshbon, which means the percentages of truma versus chulin, of that which is holy, as opposed to that which is mundane. And Maim She'uvin passels, renders, legally disqualifies a ritual bath, a mikveh, elafi cheshbon, according to the percentages, a certain percentage which the Gemara will speak about. In other words, we know the percentage has a lot of significance, and based upon the percentages, the Maim She'uvin will passel a mikveh. Now, what exactly does this statement mean? Just to give a very, very simple background, the Torah requires that in order to for certain types of immersions, then we require a mikveh, which either comes from a natural source, in other words, a mayan, which is a spring, or let's call it megashamim, right? Rainwater. So the rainwater, when it falls naturally into a reservoir. So when it reaches a volume of 40 saw, then in fact this constitutes what's called a kosher mikveh. Now, a mikveh has to be, of course, for many purposes. Most purposes has to be what's called natural water. Either, like I said before, it comes either from a natural spring or it comes from rainwater. Now, however, if a person would, let's say, fill up water with a bucket, in the faucet, and pour the water into a bathtub, so that's called mayim she'uvim, mayim which is drawn. In fact, actually, it's very good for this week's parsha. This was Parsha being the Parsha of Hayetze. So we're going to see Glochel after drawing water, as actually was last week's, 2 weeks Parsha in Chayesara. So in other words, when a person is Mamali Bekasa, means like he draws water and he pours the water into the mikveh, that's called Mayim She'uvim. Now, Mayim She'uvim, of course, a mikveh which is completely Mayim She'uvim, is of course possible, disqualified, as a mikveh. There is a machlokes pitul mishanim, whether the psul is actually psul only psul de rabbanan. The shita of the Rambam is that Mayim She'uvim is only psul de rabbanan, but the rice worker use Mayim She'uvim. The shita of other mishanim is that Mayim psulim is pasul deraisa. Some mishnah matarash understand that only with rogue Mayim She'uvim is pasul deraisa. In other words, there's a, but everybody agrees it's pasul lemaisa. In other words, you cannot immerse yourself from certain types of tumah in a mikveh which is made up of purely only drawn water. So in other words, what if I have, for example, a mixture of rainwater and drawn water? Now, of course, if the rainwater, the it's usually called make a shamim, right? If the rainwater is 40 saw, I could pour in as much Mayim She'uvim as I want. However, if the rainwater is less than 40 saw and I mix Mayim She'uvim into it, so we're going to see a little bit in the Gemara exactly what is the halachic status of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that somehow the psul is related to the proportion of Mayim She'uvim versus Mayim She'uvim. We'll see a little while. Okay, so like this. Now, comes the Gemara. The Gemara is located beginning about 5-6 lines from the bottom of the Omud. Ve'ena mayim she'uvim poishlim samikveh. Says the Gemara, man tana, in other words, who is the tana of the statement that mayim she'uvim passes the mikveh l'fi cheshbe? In other words, who's the tana? In other words, we want to identify the statement of the Mishnah, right? Which tana makes the statement to the Mishnah? According to what sheet is the statement being made in the Mishnah? Omer abchia ba'ama b'b'yecharan. So Abchia Ba'aba says the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yankov. The town of the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yankov. Right? Not Rabbi Eliezer ben Hulkanis, not Rabbi Eliezer ben Shamua, not Rabbi Eliezer, etc. It's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yankov. Tidnan, and we bring actually a Tosefta, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yankov Oimer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yankov says, Mikveh sheyesh boi 21 saw. If a mikveh has 21 saw, let's assume we have, let's say, a reservoir, a pool with 21 saw, which constitutes the majority of a legal mikveh, and of course mega shaman. In other words, the mikveh has 21 saw mega shaman. Mamali bekosef. One can pour mayim she'uvim into it. Says the Gemara of 19 saw of 19 saw upaiskin lemikveh. Basically, upaiskin the mikveh, I'm going to explain the Gemara according to Rashi. We'll go back and explain how the Gemara could possibly be interpreted, but I'm just going to use the Gemara according to Rashi. Upaiskin the mikveh, what happens is we take 19 saw, which are mayim she'uvim, v'hein toiren, and what we do is, upaiskin the mikveh means we allow the 19 saw of mayim she'uvim to run along the ground. So we pour that it runs along the ground, right, vein toiren, and the mayim she'uvim now go into 19 saw of mayim she'uvim run along the ground. They pour into the mikveh of 21 saw, and the mikveh is a kosher mikveh. Why is this true? She'iva metaheres b'reviyah u'v'hamshacha. In other words, she'iva, when a person draws water, you can metaher the mayim she'uvim, right, b'reviyah, by having a roiv of mekishamim u'v'hamshacha, and by being mamshich the mayim she'uvim, right, along the ground, which takes away what's called the tefisas yad avodah. So, in other words, this is the way Rashi learned. So basically what we do is, we have 21 saw in the mikveh, we want to fill up the mikveh, so we take 19 saw, right, of mayim she'uvim, we pour it, it runs along the ground, it flows into the mikveh, and therefore the mikveh is kosher. And that's l'chor the pshat of the Mishnah, when it says, it's, in other words, it passes l'fi cheshbon, which means that if you had more than 20 saw of mayim she'uvim, it would pass the mikveh. But if you have 19 saw of mayim she'uvim and 21 saw, which is the majority of 40 saw of mega shamim, the mikveh is kosher. Okay? So, says the Gemara. So the Gemara says this is the meaning of the statement in the Mishnah that mayim she'uvim passes a mikveh l'fi cheshbon. Okay, now, says the Gemara, this is a ben Yankov. So there is a Rabbanon, a Chacham Nitzchak, Elizabeth Yankov. Miklal the Rabbanon Savi the Bereviu v'him Yishach Aloi. But Chachamim, Rabbanon Armachmir, they all know. The Reviu and Amshacha is not enough to be machsher, these Mayim Sheuvim, to be included in a mikvah of kosher mikvah memsah. The Gemara says, lo, is this not true? Elahadi cha'atzer Ravin am Rabbi Yechidon, Ravin came, he said him Rabbi Yechidon, Sheuva, Shemshicha Kula Tahira. Who needs Mekhi Shaman? 21 Sa Mekhi Shaman. Just take 40 Sa of Mayim Sheuvim, run it along. Run it on the ground. That was, pour it, let it run along the ground. And Amshacha will be betayet. That's what it says. Amshicha Kula Tahira. And you make a kosher mikvah. So the Gemara says, who's that guy like? Lo, Rabban of Rabbi Yezer. Right? Is that going to Rabban? Certainly not. Rabban don't even matter the Raviyah of Hamshacha. Then you go like Rabbi Yezer. Because Rabbi Yezer only is matter Hamshacha if there's 21 saw and make a shamim. This is Mimachshir 40 saw of Maim Shuvah through Hamshacha. But Rabbi says another pshat to the Mishnah, and the Gemara goes on, explains another pshat to the Mishnah. The Mishnah goes like Yosef ben Chayni, etc., Vachuli, etc. Now, the way, once again, there's a lot of Taisvus here, there's some Shainim here. What the fact is that what the Gemara seems to be suggesting, at least according to many Mishnah, I'm going to go into detail into the sugya here because that will take longer than a shia, one shia on the internet. But what comes out in the Rishonim is that what the Blessed Ben Yankov is saying here is that basically, as long as I'm mamshech, a minority, less than 20 saw of Meshuvim into Megishamim, or I put Megi Shaman to that, then the mikvah is kosher. That's the Bezim and Yankov. Okay? And then, the Gemara, after that, as says Chacham Machayr, Bezim and Yankov, that's Shlav 1, stage number 1 in the Gemara. Stage number 2 in the Gemara actually says that the Shita of Chachamim, that's Mata completely. Mata completely. 40 Sa, Mata completely. However, the Gemara, in front of me, Yebezim and Aleph, in Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov has a twinkle star and a crescent. If I look at the very bottom, the twinkle star crescent, it says Tosefta Perek Dalet Ayin Sham. It's Ayin Sham. Because actually, the Tosefta, which is quoted by the Gemara, indicates something totally different. The Tosefta in Mikvois, in Perek Dalet Halacha Beis, Rabbi Yosef Yankov says a different statement. Now, Rabbi Yankov makes a different statement, because, and this is, I understand that Sefta based upon the Rash and the Rosh of a little while. Rabbi Yosef Yankov says you have a gag, you have a roof that has 21, let's see, 21 saw make a shaman. And then, so it says, they want to make a mikveh. So somewhere on the roof where you can run the water, the 21 saw together with Meisha Uvim, and they'll mix together. And after that, they mix together. There's a roiv, Mekhi Shamim, over the Meisha Uvim. There was 21 saw Mekhi Shamim, let's see, 19 saw Meisha Uvim. They'll mix together. And after that, they'll run into a chatzir, and they'll be mamshik that into the mikvah. In other words, what Elazar ben Yankov seems to be saying the days after is that in order to betail Meisha Uvim, you need actually several stages. It's more machmir than the sheet of the Gemara over here. Well, certainly more machmir than what it seems to be saying is, you first have to mix them, the Mekhi Shaman with the Mesha Uvim. So you have 21 versus 90, 21 Mekhi Shaman versus. Then you mamshik it into a mikvah. And then it becomes kosher.
And Zub Lezman Yaakov.
Zub Lezman Yaakov. Zub Lezman Yaakov is Beferish over here. Okay? This is Beferish over here, Lezman Yaakov. Now, the fact is that this appears to be the position of our Mishnayos and Mikvois. And this is, we'll see, the Rosh, everything I'm saying, by the way, is going to be said by the Rosh. I'm just giving you a English introduction to the Rosh. In Perek Dal Lacha Dalet, the Rosh, the Mishnah says, right? The Mishnah says in Perek Dalet, you have Meishuv and Mekeshama, they mix, they first have to mix before they come to the mikvah. It's clear in the Mishnah. In other words, Meishum and Meishuvim have to mix. And the Meishum has to be the loiv. And then after Meishum is the loiv and they mix, then you run them, your mom should them into a mikvah. Because if they mix, and there's a rov Meishumim over Meishuvim, before they run into the mikvah, it'll be kosher. That's not kosher. And that appears to be the pshat of the Mishnah. That's what the Rash says. The Rash says that the Mishnah, and so the rest can say they're foolish like that too. Which means, if we understand the Tosefta, as the Rambam says, in his Hakdamah to the Mishnah Torah, Tosefta is the Pelush of the Mishnah, to understand the Ikkar of the Mishnah. So it's clear that the Tosefta of Ben Yankov is coming to explain us what appears to be the Pshat of the Mishnah, Paradalot HaDalot, that in order to make a kosher mikveh, first I have to mix the 19 meishuvim in 21 megishamim to make a mixture with this roi megishamim, and then I have to run the water, be mashed the water into a kosher mikveh. But if I just run the meishuvim mamshichet into a 21 saw, that mikveh is not going to be kosher. In other words, the tesefta is which is the halacha stated in the name of Elizabeth Yankov. It's clearly being chaylek, the way, explain the way we show you our understanding, the b'rais of Elizabeth Yankov, which is brought in Masechta Tamura.
Are the words different inside the Gemara?
The words of Gemara are different, and because it doesn't mention a gag and a chatzir, but more than that too, there's actually we'll see a little bit, the Gemara actually makes add something. I'm not sure it's from Elizabeth Yankov, Shashiva Mataharas Berefil Vamshach. Is that Elizabeth Yankov, or is that the redactor of the Gemara explaining Elizabeth Yankov? We'll see that in a little while. Okay? Now, what I want to do is, I want to quote the Rosh. Now, it's very interesting that the Gemara in Tamura doesn't bring Perak Dalet Halacha Dalet. You know, the Mishnah, which clearly expresses Elizabeth Yankov's understanding of the Mishnah, the Tosefta. What I want to do is I want to bring the Rosh. The Rosh is Mikvois.
Which page?
It's in Perek Dalet, Halacha Dalet. And I'm quoting from the Rosh. Those of you who've never learned Titus, it's not enough Yemi. The Rosh is along the bottom over here.
It's the same Rosh.
Emor ben Akasha Kasha. It says in the Mishnah, Emor ben Akasha Kasha. Kamezim ben Yankov. Dama per kama tamura, mod for shesh b'chaf av salam, and gishamim, and mali b'kazav, tisha asa son of paiskin l'mik, for him tayrim, shashiva b'tayrim, b'vir b'shacha. El dahacha, hacha means in the Mishnah, not the breis of Elizabeth Yankov and tamura, here in the Mishnah. El dahacha mashma, I'm reading, translating the Rosh. El dahacha mashma, here, in this Mishnah, in Peradal HaKadal Mikvoiz, it's mashma, it seems to be, to be in and she's avo yachad, haksherim v'psulim. That's mashma, the ksherim and psulim have to mix. That's to be a roiv, ksherim. Koidim, she yelled to the mikveh, before they go into the mikveh. The tani say, like, the tefer, are you bekalchum to chamayim, perush. Ima you bekalchum b'lei tarovis, to tech ha-mikveh. The fila shlosha lugim, she yelled to tech ha-mishocha, b'lei tarovis, plun. No, even if I would run three lugim into a mikveh, ha-mishocha, it's running to the mikveh, would pass on the mikveh. And this is the way we learn in the Tosefta. In other words, this scenario, which appears to be the scenario of the Mishnah, is the scenario of the Tosefta. This is Ben Yankov. Right? Omer Gag Shesh Rosho Echad Vesem Echad Shalom Bekeshavim. He's about a roof and a chotzer. Bala Bekosim. And I still don't get that song. Posit Marvin Bechotzer. Alma by Torah of his Bechotzer. Therefore, we need a mixture of the chotzer. Koidim Shiyad Lomifah. Before goes to the Mekfer. Says the Rosh. What's exactly what I said? Of course, I said like the Rosh said. Namely, then what? The Mishnah, Midvice, is going like the Tosefta of Elizabeth ben Yankov. Not like Elizabeth ben Yankov of the Gemara. Hilchot Nira. So says the Rosh, how do you explain it? The Ach Mishnah of Elizabeth ben Yankov, the Tosefta. This Mishnah, Midvice, per Dalach and the Mishnah Dalit, is in fact Elizabeth ben Yankov of the Tosefta. The Baitar Levis, Bechotzer. who requires a tarovus in the chatzer before it's yoded to the mikvah. Now, what about the Rebbezeh ben Yankov, the Gemara and Tamura, which appears to be a much bigger cooler than this? So says the Rosh, Vishuv Hoysef Lahakel. The Gemara was Moisef Lahakel. Let's explain what that means. The Gemara somehow added another leniency to lo by Tarovis, the Chatzah. In other words, the Gemara said that you don't need a Tarovis before it comes to the mikvah. Because that's the way the Gemara explained the Mishnah in Tamura. Now, why did the Gemara explain the Mishnah in Tamura the way it explained? Because the Rosh says, in other words, the Gemara could have explained the Mishnah in Tamura like the disciples of Ben Yaakov. But instead of that, the Gemara decided to explain the Mishnah according to the Talmudic Brisa version of Rezeb Ben Yaakov, and not the Tosefta version of Rezeb Ben Yaakov. And that's the halacha. Why? To Shiva Mataheres b'Viyav Amshacha. All you need is b'Viyav Amshacha. Meaning, the lesson to be saying is, when it says b'Viyav Amshacha, means you need two, but you don't need them in that order. Then what you can be Mamshik, and then you're Zerov. Now, I want to raise a question based upon the Rosh here.
Didn't the Gemara say this wasn't the Pshat in the Mishnah? It went on to a different Pshat?
Right, but no. First the Gemara says the Pshat in the Mishnah, then the Gemara goes to when he gets to Amri. Ela Omar. Now, the Rosh says, clearly, I could learn the Mishnah that the Mishnah which says in Tamura that Mayim Shu'uvim, Poises are Mikvah, Elefi Cheshben, I can learn it in two ways. I can learn it according to Rezeb Ben Yaakov that it's after, or I can learn it according to Rezeb Ben Yaakov that the Gemara brings. And the question which I want to raise is, why did the Gemara learn the Mishnah in accordance to a new Bereis of Rezeb Ben Yaakov, when it could have learned the Mishnah according to Rezeb Ben Yaakov the Sefta, which apparently is the Pshat of the Mishnah Mikvayis? Shrek! That's the Rosh, but the Rosh is saying that. I mean, clearly the Mishnayis and Mikvayis are indicating clearly that I need a Taroivis before I mamshik into a mikvah. And I can equally learn that Pshat in the Mishnah in Tabula as the other version of Rezeb Ben Yaakov. I want to claim the following thing. The Tosefta understood the Pshat of the Mishnah in Mikvayis, which says the Rosh is clearly the Pshat of the Mishnah in Mikvayis, even the Rosh and the Forsh are related to that, the Rambam doesn't bring him Halacha, in fact, is that you need a Taroivis of Vloy Meki Shaman on Mayim Shuvim before Mayim Shuvim get to the Mikvah. I want to claim, what does it mean to say that the Rosh says, right? The Rosh says, Maisif and Lahakel. I want to claim there must have been a minik in the time of Chazal. I mean, if you didn't have a roof and a chatzar in this very complicated apparatus, there would just be Mamshich Meishuvim. And that was a way of filling up a entire mikvah. That was a way of filling up a mikvah. And the Gemara wanted to justify the minik. The Gemara wanted to be mastic the minik. So what did the Gemara do? The Gemara brought a braisa of Rezeb Ben Yaakov, and was madvik it, used it as the pshat, as the pelosh, as the interpretation of the Mishnah. And the Gemara was maisif. The Gemara said, "Shashi even but the hairs b'rafil amshach." I claim that's not the individual lush of Rezeb Ben Yaakov. They're not even to say that. This is the Tosefta. It speaks for itself. When the Gemara adds "Shashi even but the hairs b'rafil amshach," that's the Gemara. And what the Gemara is saying is, all you need is Revi Amshacha. But you don't need it in that order. Either way. As long as you have Shiva and Amshacha, any way you do it, that's Matar, the Mikvah. So what was the Gemara doing? The Gemara was basically being matzdik. The Gemara was laying the legal basis for a minig that was makel over what seems to have been the Pshat of the Mishnah advice of the Tosefta. Now, What's interesting is that the Rambam in Mikvayis, I think it's Perek Dalet, the Rambam in Perek Dalet in Mikvayis, Halacha Ches, and as the Rambam in the Perek Mishnayis, actually in the fourth Perek Mikvayis, says there is some, brings a Shita that was actually, that Paskin, the Rambam says, brings a Shita that would take 40 saw of Mayim Sheuvin and be Mamshich, the 40 saw of Mayim Sheuvin, and be Tar, the 40 saw of Mayim Sheuvin, and would go into a mikvah without any rainwater in the mikvah l'chadchila. And the Rambam says that there are some people who do like that, but the Rambam rejects it. The Rambam says that both of the Pesha Mishnayis and Mikvayis and Baratalach Mishnah Dalet, and the Rambam also says it in the Mishnah Torah. He says, there's some Chachmei Bavel, but I don't see anyone doing like that.
Chachmei Bavel do this? Or
they did it! They did it! They passed it like this. They did this based upon the statement. The Rambam says that's not the part that. See, the Rambam sees that the statement of Rav Avin should be that you're Matari, but you need a majority. It doesn't say 40 saw, it just says Shemshicha Kula Tahira. Shuvitilaka Kula Tahira means if you have already 21 saw in the mikvah. And it's interesting, the Shiltas, the Vachai Goyin, in the Shiltas, and Shiltas Abtan Vav, I didn't bring it with me today, actually is Goyis like that in the Gemara. He goes Ravin, and he says, if you have a majority of making Shalom in the Mikvah. Now, clearly that's not the case of Al Gemara too. The Shiltas probably was being Goyis because he had this Pshat Lafuki from these Chachom and Bovel that the Rambam claims, who passed literally, that you can Mamshik 40 saw of Maim Shuvim, and they retire it and make it into a Mikvah. Which means like this. I want to claim that the Gemara is bringing a second minhag. That's even more bankal. In other words, once again, there was a minhag that was nafutz that existed and frequent during the time of Chazal, or maybe it was so frequent but simple we're doing like this, that there would just be Mamshech, 19 saw of Mamshuvim until 21 saw of the mitzvah. And the Gemara says that's the Pshat of the Yankov, the way the Gemara brings it, the Brahman Yankov, and that's the Pshat in the Mishnah. Then the Gemara goes on and says, you know what? There's another Shita. Forget about making Shaman. You can take 40 saw Maim Shovim, be Mamshek, all 40 saw, and make a Kasha Mikvah. Now, there's no base for that. Except that what? Except that there was a minhag in Bavel. A minhag somewhere, yeah.
How do you know there was a minhag?
I'm guessing it was a minhag, but in other words, clearly, first of all, clearly there's no makor for this in Mishnayos, because they'll be sure for the first minhag. But maybe the first minhag I can be madbik on the Mishnah. But this minhag, I can't madbik because Rav says the Rambam brought Eliezer. So what is it? He didn't say it? Of course he said it. It was a minhag. It was a custom, a minhag. But it's not the Eliezer.
Rambam says it's a minhag.
The Rambam says some people pass like that and he rejects it. He says, no, we don't see anyone being knighted like that. Not like that here, but some people were knighted like that. In other words, it was clearly a minhag. Because the Gemara is saying, well, it's a little Yankov. So what is it? It's a minhag. In other words, at least the first minhag, you could somehow be madbik that on the Mishnah. You could explain this to the Mishnah. But if you're Babushev, all 40 saw, right? You can't say that's the Pshat of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Lefi Cheshbon. Varai is that the shelters have to change the chios of the Gemara in order to ois minhag it.
How does Rabbi Shabbat know that the minhag came first and the Gemara came second? Maybe the Gemara was based on the minhag was based on a misreading of the Gemara.
No, because the Rambam says the minhag is coming from this statement.
I understand. Maybe the statement in the Gemara was first, and the minhag came.
But the Gemara says something, but Rav, there's no base in Rav in the Mishnah. Because the Lobi is the Lobana. There's no Mishnah that says that I can be Mamshik 40 saw right, and me make a mitzvah.
But there's a Gemara like that. The Gemara seems to say there's a third Shita.
The Gemara says a Shita, but the Mishnah, Tosef, and Brises indicate that there is no Shita like that.
Right.
So where does the statement come from, a Ravin?
But the Gemara quotes it as if there is such a Shita.
But where does it come from? Ravin cannot be saying something which is connected to Mishnayos.
A Brisa which is not.
But it's not a Brisa, it's a meme of Rav Amram Yechanan. And the Gemara says, Lo Rabban Rabbi Yechanan. The Gemara doesn't identify who it is.
He had a Mesorah.
But what? That has to be based on a Mishnah. And the Gemara can't make sense. It's connected to Mishnayos. Connected to Septa, connected to Mishnayos. Connected to the Mishnah, Parag Dalet, Mishnah Dalet in Mikvayis. Connected the Mishnah in Tamura can end at the Sefta.
But the Gemara itself does not end up by saying that...
The Gemara just says it's not Rabbi Ezra, Rabbi Ezra. Right. The Gemara says no base in Tanayin.
Right.
This is another pshat in the what? In the Mishnah.
So the Shiltas comes and says that it is the same pshat as Rav...
So the Shiltas changes the Gersa. Right. But the Rambam attests to the fact...
But the Chachmei Bavo maybe saw the pshat in the saw the Gemara, Kapshuto. This is the third Shita.
We're not speaking to each other. I agree to the Gemara. I agree Chachmei Bavo passing like this opinion. My question is, where this opinion about Rabbi Yochanan, where does it come from? Where does it come from? It's clearly connected every time I exhaust.
Right, why can't it be a Tanakh source which we don't have?
Because the Gemara will tell, let the Gemara bring it!
I can't find it.
Let the Gemara bring it! Let the Gemara bring it! It's a Rabbanan, it's what's it going like? The Gemara Shad is going like this, Shita. In fact, on the base of this, the Gemara rejects this to be the Pshat of the Mishnah, and goes on to another kid to the Mishnah. So clearly, what's going on in the Gemara? And why is this the Pshat of the Rosh? I'm not making up anything new. This is the way the Rosh understood the Gemara. The Pshat of the Gemara was like this. There was clearly, there's a Mishnah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet, Mikvois, the Pshat of the Mishnah, as every Rishon, Rash, and Rush attest to it. After that, they try to be Yashu, but everyone attests to it. The rest is explicit like that. The Sefta learns that Pshat of the Mishnah. The sort, the Mish from the Mishnah, from the Tanaic literature, it's clear, you need a Tarez for the Amshacha. Comes the Gemara and says, you know what? There's a statement of Rabbi Yochanan, right? The Gemara says, in Tamura, right? A statement of Rabbi Yochanan, of Chibba Abne of Rabbi Yochanan, a Bryce of Zemin Yankov, not like the Mishnah in McVeigh's, not the Sefta, but somehow that's the Pshat in the Mishnah over here in Tamura. The Bryce says you can learn either way. Okay. The Bryce is connected to Mishnayas. So it could have been a minute, but at least I was able to madbik this minute on a Mishnah. But then there's a statement of Avavin, according to the Gizra of some Rishonim, but Papa has no basis in Mishnayos. There seems to have been several Minhagim. This middle of Yankov, you can at least be madbik it on the Mishnah. Say the Bishop Tamura is saying the Pshat like that. He's not indicating otherwise, not like the Mishnah in Mikvois. The second statement of Rabbi Yochanan, there's no basis for it. Stam HaMinuk. For this reason, the children change the Gizra of the Gemara. What was the Gemara doing? Clearly there were two minhagim. There was a minhag to be mamshech 19 saw of Mei She'uvin into 21 saw of Megid Shaman. And the redactor of the Gemara had to find a makor for it. And he found a makor in the Mishnah in Tamura. Now you should know something. If you look at the stable of Ben Yankov, it's not mashma like that. Stavon says, Mikvah sheyesh b'esrim achas saw, make a shaman. You have 21 saw, make a shaman a mikvah. Mamali b'kosav, tisha saw. You fill, you draw 19 saw. Upaiskin la mikvah. Fein toire. Now what's it mashma place the mikvah in toire? It's mashma there. What I would say is the pshat here is you fill up 19 into the 21, and then this whole thing, you're mamshich it, and then after that, it becomes tar. Shashim b'teres b'raviyah of amshacha. First did the raviyah, the majority, then the amshacha. And the Maaseh the Rosh mentions this in Perek Bey's Mishnah Zayin. Except that Rishonim understood, no, that's not the pshat. The pshat is because it says raviyah of amshacha, it's lav dafka in that order. But rather, you could be mamshechit, and then it could be a bit alive in the mikvah 21 saw. Which means, it seems to me that the addendum to the shashil b'tayot b'viyo v'amshacha was a taich in Reza ben Yankov. Not like the Tosefta and the Mishnah Perek Dalet, but a taich to be matzik this minig and say this is the core of is this Mishnah. So clearly, what is... Once again, what is the redactor of the Gemara doing? He's taking a minhag, which appears to be connected. The minhag seems to be in clear contradistinction to explicit Mishnah, and he's justifying it by a somehow a new interpretation of the Binyankov, which happens to fit into the Mishnah and Tabora. Because the Mishnah and Tabora, the Binyankov here doesn't speak about a Gog and a Chatzar, etc., etc.
Where does the Minhag come from if there's no basis?
They were not like that. If you look through 2,000 years of Jewish history, there are clearly many Minhagim, right, that Rishonim many times tried to Miyashev. The very first Tosfos in Shas, right, speaks about a Minhag of people reading Kriyat Shema early. I'm saying this because the first Tosfos in Shas, this is how Shas begins for the Rishonim. People are reading Kriyat Shema earlier. It's connected to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says a chachavim. The Gemara says the Mishnah says a chachavim. I mean, there are braises and beis and beis and brachas that indicate perhaps earlier times. But people are reading chrisma already made by John. Tosfos there brings two shitas. It brings a shita of Rabbeinu Tam, which is a very incredible shita that you could read chrisma from Plaga Mincha based upon the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And there's another shita of the Ri that is separate from all the braises. I mean, in other words, clearly, the Tosfos is coming to Miyashiv Aminik. I mean, you can't say that for hundreds of years, Klal Yisrael were, in fact, reading Kriya Shema, not being Yaitz, in the midst of Kriya Shema. Okay? So, in other words, clearly, the Tosfos, in other words, the Tosfos brings up a Shul Shami, let's see, that says that why they read earlier, in order to be only but feel the different Torah. But that's not being Miyashiv Aminik. The means that they were being Yaitz, the Kriya Shema, else Yaitz, the Kriya Shema. They were filling the Spin up to Kriya Shema. Tosfos has the miyash of the minig, and we see that, you know, a good part of the Rishonim and the Chacham Vatali is the miyash minig, you know, in accordance with the text. But in any case, that's what the Gemara is doing.
But I could understand that minig. In other words, not the Rebbeinu Tam sees the minig as miyash, but Rebbeinu Tam is saying the same svara that started this minig. He's not being machadish and you. It could be the minig started based
on... Let me tell you something.
Over here, you can't say
something. No. First of all, I mean...
But over here, there's no yeshiva.
Do you think if there wasn't a minig, the Rebbeinu Tam would have said that according to Rebbeinu Tam, recreation of Plaka Minich?
It has a different sheet than Rashi in Tefillin.
It's different, mate. There's no Masei on that. But he's learning Pshat Negemara. But it's different.
But we found such Tefillin, like Rebbeinu Tam. And like Rashi.
No, it's fine.
In other words, he's being a yeshiva minig that already exists. So it could be that...
No, it's the Gemara too. There must have been a minig, the Tam of the Baroyim. Once again, the difference between the Gemara is redacted. We're talking about a Gemara that was redacted hundreds of years after the Mishnah.
What was it? The Kriya Shema could be the Minig started, the Taka they learned like Rebbeinu Tam or like the Ri. And hundreds of years later, like Rebbeinu Tam and Ri were either Mechadish or Mesar, whatever the same.
Whatever,
by the Gemara, what's the source of this Minig?
No, because I'd say, first of all, there is no Shita in Shas. There is no Shita of any Tano, right, that says you can be Kriya Shema with Plaka Mincha.
Right.
The Rebbeinu Tam is telling incredible chiddush.
So
a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, which is always speaking about what? Always speaking about tefillah. That's Kriya Shema. He's making an incredible chiddush. It's an incredible chiddush. Look at the Shakas Aliyah. Okay. It's an incredible chiddush. It's clearly a yeshiva with a very big doyot. There's no Tanakh source for that. Here I claim that the Gemara is there must have been a minik, the Talmud of Araya, to be mamshech and then to be teufel. Right? And the fact is that I mean, the Gemara, at least the first Gemara, Zabin Yankov, is saying this is Pshat in the Mishnah, because it fits into the Mishnah.
Right.
Oh, the other Pshat is the Mishnah too. But in other words,
right,
there's a Feirush Mishnah, and Paradal, Mishnah Dalit, and Mitvayz, that's clearly against it. And that's the Pshat in the Mishnah, that's after. But in other words, there was a Minig like that. Now, it could possibly be the Minig began also, they were saying Pshat in the Mishnah. It could be like the two. This is historical, so I don't know what the history is. But we see clearly, the Rosh is saying, clearly, is the Rosh clearly saying there's no... The Rosh, I'm reading for the Rosh, textual truth. In other words, the Rosh says, I could have learned the Mishnah either way. But clearly there's a Mishnah, Paragdal, Mishnah, Dalet, that says explicitly, like Elizabeth Yankov, that's not exactly. There is no Mishnah that says like Elizabeth Yankov, as Rabbi Yankov is saying. There's no Mishnah like that. But I could read it to the Mishnah.
But the Gemara, which says, Abayim say Abayim Shachar,
Erech Hanami. So that's a big machloek.
What's the basis of the minig?
There's no answer to the basis. The Rambam claims there's no basis of the minig. And so is the Shiltas.
But there is a minig.
But the fact is, there must have been a minig like that. I know where it's coming from. It could possibly be, once again, if I was writing a tshuva, it could possibly be, then maybe, first of all, you should know something. In Hillel Tefillah Shadayim, the Kesef Mishnah says that you can be Samech on this Shita for Tefillah Shadayim. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says. He says that I'm a Mesoimich on this. In the Rambam, right. In other words, the Kesef Mishnah says, I think, in Hilchas Tefillah, that you can be Mesoimich on this for Tefillah Shadayim.
Even the Rambam says no Mekor for it.
Yeah, but the Rambam, it says, according to the Rambam, you can be Mesoimich, according to the Rambam. So it comes out, maybe it could possibly be, the people were what, Mesoimich on this for Tefillah Shadayim, and some people use it for this. I don't know. You know what? What the historical truth is, we can go a hin and a har and guess from now until next year, we can make another 25 in the shulam, and we haven't gotten anywhere. Is that important? Important is how the Rishonim sing it. How is the Rosh seeing this? The Rosh understands, the Gemara was giving a kula.
The Rosh does not say anything about minhagim.
No, I'm adding minhag. But I say, what I say it has to be a minhag. Why? Because if there's a kula that's clearly connected, explicit Mishnah, I can only read it into a Mishnah. It's clearly a minute to be makel. And the Lashon of the Rosh, which I want to read, the Lashon of the Rosh is Vishuv Hoysev Lahakil. What's Hoysev Lahakil? They introduced the Kula.
So the redacted of the Talmud is only coming to be Miyashev.
Not only, but in other words, this is an example of a case, which I claim, the redactor of the Talmud was going to be, or maybe look, maybe it wasn't a minute. Maybe there was an emergency. They didn't have a roof. And they had to bring this thing. So the guy possibly said, shot the mission like this. What I'm saying is that clearly we see what the redactor of the Gemara is doing. He's being Moisif Lahakil. He's not basing himself on what the Tanakh sources are, but he's saying a reading in this Mishnah Temurah which justifies, either justifies a minute or justifies a ruling to be Mamshech 19 Sa'av Meshuvah, the 21 Sa'av of Mekah Shabbat. That's what the Rosh is saying. So I say minute. So what minute? Whatever, say minute prime. Whatever you're going to say, it's clearly not what apparently seems to be the sheet of the Tanoim. That's clearly not like that. So I'm calling it Yashiva minute. Call whatever you want. It's clearly not coming to look for the source in the Mishnah. It's coming to Miyashiv, a Meimah, with the Mishnah. And I claim the Meimah was probably a Lachic ruling justifying the Minik based upon this possibility I could read into the Mishnah. And the fact is that in the statement of Rav Avin Rav Yochanan, that you mamshich everything, the very fact that the Shilta changes the Gilsa seems to indicate that, in fact, that was not. I mean, I don't believe the Shiltas have a different guess of the Gemara. Yes, seems to be indicate the fact is that clearly there was a ruling to that effect. I mean, the guess of Mishnah. But the guess of Mishnah says that the Rabbim says it works for the Vilah Shaddai. Yeah.
So what gives the right authority to be able to do that?
That's just, so nice. Like, first of all, what gives the authority? Well, I mean, he's got a very what? The thing is like this: the Rambam, both in Hilchas Mabim and Perek Aleph, and also in the Sakhtama to the Mishnah Teres, is clearly that Minhagim is one of the end elements of Lo Sasa. A minhag is a type of the Eis in the Rambam.
But when we have a Tanakh source,
there's a difference though. A minhag is a type as a type of the Eis. It might be that if I have a minhag, instead of having a minhag which I could read into a Tanakh source, I mean, my Tovah Manayim. But the fact is that Minhagim for the Rabbim have a take of the Eraisa. The Rabbim says that Talmud Bava is coming to bring this, and all the Minhagim too. It was a Meimah could be based upon being Matir a Minhag. In other words, Minhag is a take of the Eraisa. In other words, there is a Machloikis before Sheh Rambam. It's like Sosa only in the Liskas Agosis. That's some Rishonim, a Bedaik from a Parakal of Lachof and Mabrim. But some of them died that the Sasser includes to the end of the Chasimah Sashas. So I'm in Hadin, according to the second Shaita, because Rambam does say Lo Sasser, refers to the Chasimah Sashas. So if that's true, it would come out that a minute of the time of Shas has a take of the Eraisa, and, you know, it could possibly be that just the justification is just sort of like, you know, a way of, like anything, I say, you know, making, in other words, that the Gemara is in Peidalad in Sanhedrin. In other words, make no sign of the Torah. But that was clear. It's clear from the Rosh. Rabbi say, I'm just learning from the Rosh. I claim this is what the Rosh is saying. The Rosh clearly is saying is that this opinion is not based in the Mishnah, but based in the interpretation of the Mishnah. And the Rosh says, Lashon HaRosh once again, is Hosifa LaHakel. What's Hosifa LaHakel mean? So here's the Pshat Nehemiah. Hosifa LaHakel means, I claim, means that there must have been a Kula, a ruling that was Makel, a minute that was Makel, and those Mondays on the Mishnah. I mean, the fact is that the Rambam attests the fact that there were Chachmei Bavel or Paskin, Yimam Shechol for this song. There was a minute in Klai Yisrael like that. The Rambam is saying, Matzias. Rambam disagrees with that. He says, I don't see anyone who's not like that here, but there is a Matzias, there is a Pshat like that. So, in other words, this indicates very, very clearly what the redactor, what the, you know, what the Sugas HaGemara was doing. And this is all in the Lashon of the Rosh in Mikvayis, Perek Dalet Mishnah Dalet. An incredible Rosh. Okay, very interesting. Okay. We see is that in essence, we see that one of the, now, once again, this is not everything the redactor did. I mean, we've given many examples of other things. But the fact is that the redactor, I mean, there's nothing, the redactor was not acting different than Poskim acted in all the other generations. Many times they were looking to miyashav the what should be the halacha with either the minig or the metzias or this and that. And that really constitutes a halacha process. This halacha process, which we see in Rishayim and Achrayim, actually constituted a halacha process of the redactor. Why should, you know, if we believe that there's a tradition of Masoret Judaism, why should we say that the redactor Gemara acted differently than Rishayim and Achrayim when they write responsive? Just like the first places of brachas coming to Miyasha, the minig of Krishna, so too, there's no reason why the Gemara itself cannot be coming to Miyasha of a minig, which it saw, which seems to be perhaps at variance with early sources, and the Gemara feels it has to establish a little basis for it. Yeah.
At what stage in history do we assume that perhaps the minhag is flawed as opposed to it actually being a valid minhag?
Well, the chachmei every generation decide that.
I mean, clearly, there's a clear difference between a minhag which was before Shabbat.
Oh yeah, before, yeah, we see.
To, one which was,
yeah, right. It could possibly be that there's certain minhagim that the Gemara rejects. And, for example, I mean, the fact is that the Gemara, we should understand the Gemara rejected the Rambam statement in the Yud Beis Amud Beis.
Why should those Chachamim assume that this minhag is correct and that minhag is incorrect?
That's Das Torah. Is there any basis to that? Yeah, that's Das Torah. Because the Lashon of the Rambam is Hinichu Minhag. Chachamim have to decide whether the minhag is valid or not valid. It could possibly be sometimes there's a minhag that has no basis, but we said that we let the Gemara Pesachim, the fourth parak, says nonetheless we, you know, we're allowed to do what they want. But another
Son of
what?
Son of Vav?
No, not Son of Vav. That's a different. That's a No, but the Gemara in the fourth parak, Baruch Shinago, speaks about Minhagim, that even though it's a base, you shouldn't tell them to be Makel, because what I'm saying is that the issue of Minhagim is complicated. We're going to Minhagim right now. I mean, we could give 20 shulam on the internet on Minhagim. My claim is that this is the way the Rosh understood the Gemara. This is the pshat. This is what the Rosh is saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. He's going to say enough that someone like myself could figure out what he's saying and say that's the Pshat Gemara. The Rosh is clearly saying the Pshat Gemara. Now it's interesting, the Rosh abandons Ravin, doesn't even mention Ravin. You know, okay, fine. But he says, V'chein Hilchasa. Why is the Hilchasa? Because that's the Stipas Hashas. The Stipas Hashas, right, is coming to, is the Basoi, is the final word in the Lacha. Connected. So I said this Pshat in the Mishnah. Now, of course, once we say that, you can look at the Mefoshim, the Rashkan, the Miyashim, the Mishnah, according to the Pshat, the Mishnah, and everything. Okay, that's already the Yachwein, and later on comes the Miyashim things. But in other words, at the very formulation of the Sugya, clearly the Gemara is trying to justify Rabbi Yekun's statement in light of the Mishnah and Tamura, in possible variants of the Mishnah and Mekvayis. The Gemara doesn't bring Mekvayis at all. It's irrelevant. The Rambam doesn't bring the Mikvah Mishnah and Mekvayis. Okay, fine. Now, this basically concludes this analysis. I want to what I'd like to do is I'm not going to go on to another sugya. Those of you who are interested in the sugya, you should know that actually this is not the beginning of things. The sugya, to really learn the sugya properly, you have to learn in Perek Beis Mishnah Zayin. There's an extensive perush of the Rashi there, who refers to the, he wants to claim that the Tosefta versus arguing the Mishnah, the Tosefta Gemara arguing the Mishnah. There's a extensive mefalshim in the sugya. I'm not going to go into the it's not a shiur mikvayis, but you should know that the sugya is very extensive. I've left out a lot of things, but what I'm giving you is what's called the reish bid, the tamsus of the vore. In other words, the succinct understanding of how the sugya developed historically. And of course, you know, after the halacha is, you know, is pronounced and established, then the Rishon will come along and say, well, now I can be Yashiv this Mishnah with this. The Rush is important because the Rush is actually pointing to the historical development of halacha as opposed to what's called the Yishuv of halacha, which means after I have the halacha, then I can come and introduce different levels of amkus and depth and interpretation and be Yashiv these things. That's so there's a achreinik, the Sivus HaMishpat, the Chashem Mishpat very often does. Now, the next, what we have to come to in is, I think that we've given many examples how the redactor of the Shas operates. I mean, I can go on and on and give more examples, but I think at this point it's very important to get a little bit of perspective on this. And that's what I'm going to do next time. Next time I want to speak really perhaps more about this concept of what's called, in other words, the concept of tradition. What is then tradition that comes out of this? And secondly, maybe what the concept is called textual truth. In other words, what we're doing now is that we're not making historical hypotheses and theses. We're making hashavas. What we're doing is we're trying to read the Rishonim as the Rishonim themselves understood the development of the Talmud. That's the chiddush of these shiurim. I'm not saying any scholarly hypotheses. I'm not making any historical surmises. All I'm doing is reading pshat, real pshat, in the Rishonim and understanding how the Rishonim themselves understood the sugya. And that's what is called the textual truth of the sugya. I'm not trying to jump over generations, but how did those generations that were closest to the text, the Rishonim were obviously closer to the text of the Gemara than, you know, Meir Treibitz and all the other my dear professor friends were. In other words, how did they understand the historical development of the sugya? And then we're saying that's called textual truth, because only how they understood the sugya, right, connects us really with the Messiah, the tradition of learning, right, through the, you know, the textual history of the Jewish jurisprudence. So in other words, this is the pshat. Now, the meaning of this, I want to go a little bit deeper. In other words, what concept of truth is there? What is halachic truth? What is the meaning of this? What is the consequence of this? And this is something, Mitzvah Hashem, that we will actually delve into on a much deeper level in the next year. And until then, from an undisclosed location in Yerushalayim, Kol Tuv.